I have mentioned since the beginning of this church year, a little bit each week I try to give a little bit of an opening to understanding the Gospel of Mark. I try to give just a little bit of history and try to get us to acquaint ourselves with the language and the style and the purpose of why Mark wrote his Gospel. Because once we've got that a little bit under our belt, we can then start to look for common threads between what Mark's purpose was and what's going on in my life here and now and what's going on in our life collectively. And if we can draw those threads together, we can start to make changes where we need to make changes, and we can also be affirmed where we need to be affirmed in the way in which we act as missionaries in the church going out. Mark uses lots of symbols, of course, and to understand anything really in the New Testament, but particularly the Gospels, we need to always go back to our source, and our source is the Old Testament, the First Testament. And the first thing my eye does is, okay, I read the Gospel a few times and think, okay, what is from the Old Testament that helps me understand where this is going? And very obviously for me, the first thing there is the staff. Mark says through the lips of Jesus, take nothing with you but the staff. And then I think in the Old Testament, where was the staff mentioned? And the staff was what Moses took with him when he led the people out of Egypt. It's what he used to part the Red Sea. It's what he used to crack the rock at Ephraim, and the water flowed forward. So the staff is... it would have been to his Jewish audience, it would have been a very obvious symbol. And today Jesus says, don't take anything else with you except your sandals and one tunic and a staff. So Jesus is saying, what Moses did as he entered and led the people, you are going to do. And then I always go through and I think, okay, the staff. And well, I'm not a bishop, thanks be to God and his blessed mother. So there is no staff here. And it does say to me that we need to be very careful as a church with those who actually carry the staff now, that they exercise the power of that staff, the crozier as it's called, with the right authority, because it is a symbol of authority, even from biblical times. And the church now has a history where that hasn't always been the case, sadly. And so today I think would be a real reminder to the church, are we on track with the way that we are living out what Jesus asked the apostles to do? It's just a little examination of conscience. And if a person owns one of those staffs, they need to perhaps examine their way of missioning a little bit deeper than the rest of us who live relatively uncomplicated lives without the power. Now, this story of the commissioning, it's the third time it's mentioned in Mark's Gospel. Now, anything that's going to be mentioned three times, you know it's going to be significant. It's worded a little bit differently, certainly, but it is definitely a commissioning from when he calls them forward and then he sends them out. He commissions them, and then today he's sending them out, we're told, in pairs. Now, that would say to me that he didn't say, right, are you 12? Off you go. That says to me he spent time with each of them individually and then sent them out. He gave them his full attention, not a collective, like a classroom thing. It was probably more particular. And then in pairs, he would gradually send them out. And then I would look at, okay, how are we working in the church today? How do I operate? Well, as a priest without a staff, thank heavens, I live on my own. I'm not paired up with anybody particularly. I am in a sort of a sense, but on the down-to-earth, the very practical, which Jesus is speaking here very practically, no, I live on my own, and I'm not complaining about that, trust me. But it does identify in our church that we have not stuck to the original plan, the original instructions. It does say to me that we've moved somewhat away in some areas. In other areas, we have completely stuck to the plan that Jesus gave us. But there is always room for improvement. Now, the language there, because that you read about, don't take a haversack, don't take any coins, money in your belt, that simply is a reference to live a simplistic life. Do not take any baggage with you as a missionary. Do not take any baggage with you that is going to weigh you down and impede you from spreading the gospel far and wide. So once again, you can do the same. You look at your life and I look at my life and I say, what are the things that impede me in my life from sticking to the plan that I was given, that the church was given? And certainly there are things, and they will be different for each and every one of us. And it's very easy for me to stand here and, in a sense, criticise where the church has gone off the plan. But we can't undo history. We can learn from history, and hopefully we learn wisely from history. And then we help get ourselves back on track. But we can't do that, I don't think, on our own. And so the reference to the pairs again comes forward, that we are sent out in company. Now, for those of you that are not in company, for those who live the single life, for example, and for those who are priests or religious, we do come together in some sense of community, but a lot of the time we are actually on our own. So we need to be very careful that we honour the commitments that we made, the vows that we made, and that we stick to them with the spirit of our founder or foundress. And for all of us, our founder is Jesus Christ. But for religious, there's the spirit of the founder of that particular order. And that is probably an extension of going out in pairs, even when we live on our own. Now, where does that place married people? Well, it would say to me today from the gospel that we need to be faithful to those promises or to those vows that we have made, whatever our state in life, whatever we're called to, whatever our vocation is. Be true to the promises that you have made. It says to me that in this gospel, the sending out of the apostles, that we are to be dependent. We are to trust in God and depend on God. And the lack of clothing and things, we also depend on each other. That's what it says to me. So dependency, that covers everybody from the single person to the married to the religious. To be dependent on God and to be dependent on each other. It says to me in this gospel, live a simplistic life, a less complicated life. Very challenging in these days of technology. You can't even get into church without pulling out the app and putting it on your phone. That's just where we're at the moment. But I think the reference really is to remove those things in our life that weigh us down and inhibit us so that we can go further with whatever our task, our vocation in life is. And the third thing I think that this gospel says to us is really to do with hospitality. And Jesus spends quite a bit of time talking about how you treat others and how they treat you or they don't treat you well. Now, if you read Matthew's version of this gospel and if you read Luke's version of this gospel, the instructions are a little different. There, you're not even told to wear sandals. Don't take any of the other things. And he says, no sandals. But Mark has put sandals in there. And the sandals are what the Hebrews wore when they left Egypt. It's really the only thing they had time to take with them, was those simple things. And that's what they wore. So it's a reference really to moving out beyond our own territory, as it were. That's what the sandals would be alluding to. And then on the way you will encounter hospitality or not. It may even be hostility. And in the ancient Hebrew tradition, it says if you encounter the hostility and you're not welcome, well, then take your sandals. That's why he's got them, Mark's got them in there, and brush the sand off, brush the dirt off, brush Egypt off your feet, brush the Gentile dirt off your feet and move on. And same as last week, he doesn't say sit there and argue with them and labour through it and try and win the debate. No, just move on. There are more people who are keen to hear the word of God, and these ones were given the opportunity. They chose not to take up that opportunity. Move on. And in modern parlance, they would say, get over it. That's a terrible biblical translation. But in a sense, it encourages us to say, oh, that's not going to hold me back the way that I have been treated or the way that we are treated. It's not going to hold us back. I am a missionary. And that's really the definition, I think, of evangelization that we've been discussing in our RCIA leadership group. What is evangelization? And I really think that from this gospel, it becomes very clear to me that evangelization is being dependent on God and dependent on each other, living the simple life, giving the example of the uncomplicated life but deep in dedication, and being hospitable, taking what I have and welcoming others with that. And if we do that, that leads us away from being selfish people. Hospitality is the opposite to selfishness. And one of those three things might actually be in a greater need in your life at this time and in my own and in the church's. Acknowledging my dependence, trying to get back to simplicity, and becoming more hospitable. One of those three things might surface, or all three might. And if we can do that, I'm sure that through the eyes of our faith and with the company of each other, our eyesight will be improved. Our vision will be improved of where we need to go and what we need to do. I think things will become clearer for us. They certainly do when we carry less baggage. They certainly do when we know we're not alone. And they certainly do when we have something to celebrate with other people, the hospitality of the gospel. We possess all of those things. They were given to us because the apostles went out. And where did their mission land? Right in your lap.